All right, welcome. It's Matt. It's Matt and Matt. I'm Matt.
I am also Matt.
It's NFL chat. We're back this week for week seven, going into week seven, NFL season. Matt, how'd you find this week's NFL week?
Both uneventful and too eventful at the same time. Like, it felt like nothing happened, and it also felt like the entire league changed.
Yeah.
So, like, I think I'm still kind of shell-shocked from it, but... You know, I think it was all in all not a bad week.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks that I feel like we need context and time away from the situation before we can fully understand the gravitas. Because, like, if we had... It's a real mixed feelings kind of week. Like, we had, like, a lot of very, very uncompetitive games.
Yeah. It's like there were some games that were very unentertaining to watch, and then there were some games that were... fun to watch, but also a frustrating viewing experience.
Yeah, yeah. Frustrating. About as frustrating as being a Jets fan, or being, I don't know, what would be the most... Being a Browns fan, that'd probably be the worst.
You've just named the two worst possible franchises to be a fan of, because they just... There have been two truisms throughout the entirety of football that I've been watching, and that is the Jets are the Jets and the Browns are the Browns.
I would put the Jaguars in that category too, but they would have to have fans, so...
Yeah, they don't have anybody to disappoint.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of interesting people in that part of the world. Swamp Country, Jacksonville, Duval County. It's a golfer, an Australian golfer, Cameron Smith, lives there, and he's... I don't know. That's all I need to tell you about that. He's like the one rich person that lives there, and he lives there because all the golfers live in Florida, and he likes to... I don't know. I'm off on a great world tangent. And he's a great player. He's got a mallet, and he putts well, real good.
That is more about golf than I think I've ever digested. And it's just, there is some dude with a mullet who occasionally putts.
He occasionally putts. Yes. All right. Anyway. There was one game that I think was genuinely just full of some really, like, attractive football. Mm-hmm. Just some good, I watched most of that game. I'm talking about the Ravens versus the Commanders. Ravens are getting up for another win. But it was just, both teams played well.
I don't think that you can, like, as a fan of either team, you're not walking away from that game being like, oh no, that was a bad thing. Like, both teams are walking away from that being like, okay, we have really established something as a team here.
Yeah.
Which Washington haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And Washington, like, they've got depth everywhere. Like, they've got, like, they have a good, like, their offensive line is playing very well.
Shockingly well.
And Jaden Daniels, like, again, I know you've got these fears about him just being too skinny and taking those hits, but he's not taking hits.
I don't know how he's avoiding them.
Yeah, especially with that Ravens defense. They were flying all over the place. That linebacking core and that defensive line, like, they were good. Like, that, not a lot of stars, but, I mean, when you've got Kyle Van Noy coming off the edge for 5 sacks, there's got to be a lot of guys doing their job.
That's exactly right. Like, so, you know, and... You can win in this league with a lot of BB plus. Like,
yeah.
You...
I thought you were about to say BBLs, but no. That's probably what a lot of the money's going to, but...
Yeah, I also don't think that would be very, like, beneficial for...
Oh, no, I mean, they were paying for other people's BBLs.
Oh, right, that's a completely different context.
I don't know.
I imagine that sacks would hurt a lot more with butt implants.
Yeah. Next take, instead of protecting the quarterback more, let's get it a BBL. So they have a nice soft landing cushion. Aaron Rodgers, you're my man. Let's push this through. Johnson & Johnson can create it. It's a Woody Johnson thing. We're mending fences. We're mending fences by going into business again once more.
To be honest, he needs something to help him because those sacks are going to be fucking hurting. He's taking a lot of them.
Oh, Tyron Smith was trash this week.
Rubbish.
Anyway, back to the Ravens, though, because we'll get to the Jets. We're going to bounce around a lot. But the Ravens, man. The Ravens just look solid. So solid. They just did what they wanted to do. They didn't go over the top crazy. They weren't like... The Commanders' defense were hanging in there. They weren't giving up too many big plays. But Zay Flowers is looking like... almost the perfect type of receiver for Lamar Jackson.
He is. Like, he's just physical enough to work with that Ravens style, but also dynamic enough to be able to to work with Lamar, because Lamar is such a dynamic player himself.
He's good across the middle of the field. He's good in the slot. He's got the speed to be a threat on the outside and deep.
And he's just where he needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, I think as he develops, I think if he stays healthy, I think Zay Flowers is going to be like a top 10 receiver in the league. And in no time, I think. I think he's going to be a true number one, I think, fairly soon. But he's going to be quite a unique number one.
Okay, I think a true number one is fair, but I think calling him, like, I'm just hesitant to say top 10 receiver in the league, because at the moment we've got about 24 top 10 receivers in the league. You know what I mean? Like, almost every team has got, like, a killer receiver. And because you know, that's where all the money is at the moment. That's where a lot of the talent coming through in college is. Instead of being like running back like it was 20 years ago, it's wide receiver now. So, like, there are so many incredibly gifted athletes coming through at the wide receiver position that it's really hard to say this person's top 10 without sort of competing with another 15 to 20 other number one option wide receivers for that same spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, like, Zay Flowers, I think he's just so well-rounded. I think that's why I say that. I think, like, a lot of these young receivers, like, they come in and they dominate based on just pure athleticism. And those tend to be the guys that have a good start and then fizzle out. So, like, not to name names there, but, like, you know those examples. The best example of that, like, in terms of a receiver that had the highest of high ceilings and then just struggled and then kind of, through injuries, fell off, would be OBJ.
That's a perfect example.
You know, he dominated. Like, yeah, he was a good route runner and he had good hands and all, like, great hands, let's be real.
He made a lot of money off that catch, man.
He made a lot of money off that catch, but, like, once he got a couple of injuries and lost that top-end pace to be able to get free deep, he just wasn't the same receiver.
It just goes to show you how slim the margins are in the NFL. Like, all it takes is losing a step.
Yeah.
You don't need to lose all of your speed to no longer be able to gain separation as a receiver. You need to lose a step.
Yeah.
Because those defensive backs are so fucking talented and just as fast as the receivers are.
Yeah.
So, like, any minor slight edge that you can get as a receiver is going to be the difference between a good and a great receiver.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, we talk about receivers there, like, we'll talk about a position where the Ravens have someone who is clear and above the best and killing it at, like, an age where mostly these positions in running back especially, they're dropping off. And to be honest, I feel like this season it's going in the direction where we're just going to have a regular segment called How Derrick Henry Made Me Rock Hard. Because he is doing it week after week for me.
I am so glad to see Derrick Henry on a contender. Like,
700 yards rushing.
He is on pace for just shy, like, literally, like, 25 yards shy of a 2,000 yard season.
And he had a slow start to the year too. Like, he didn't get
fucking monster, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's big. He is so fast. He is, like, he's supposed to be on the tail end of his career, not ramping up again.
I know. Yeah, and that Ravens offense, like, Lamar Jackson's playing so well enough, like, that you just can't afford to stack the box again. It's like the O-line is playing well enough to block well for him, and he's got Ricard, who's just an absolute X-factor in the run game. But then with that, the quality of the passing game, like, they're just going to, that offense is going to keep rolling and keep rumbling.
Lamar this year, like, his passing has been astronomically better than in previous years. Like, every single year, Lamar, like, he does what you're supposed to do as a quarterback. Every year he gets better. But, like, normally when a quarterback gets better, it's like a little bit that you can kind of see in the odd play. Every single year, Lamar has drastically improved one aspect of his game.
Yeah. So, like, well, you know, I think the big difference this year has been he's come to that realization after, like, week two or three that he doesn't have to do it all. Like, that's the quarterbacks, they're strongest when they, like, he just knows that he just needs, like, four or five plays a game.
That's it.
He just needs to make four or five of those passes a game, and their offense is going to be humming. And, like, that, and instead of what it was last year, where he was going to have to make 10 of those throws and then break out for at least six good runs for them to have a chance.
Yeah. Well, again, having an effective run game.
Yeah.
Has, like, it makes Lamar so much more terrifying. Because you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think that Lamar Jackson has an A-plus arm. I don't think that he has an A-plus arm talent. But overall, as a player, given his competitive drive, given his, you know, just sheer athleticism and athletic ability, he is an A-plus player. Like, his traits make him impossible to game plan for.
Yeah. And for real, though, he's good.
He's so
that's
good.
That's my analysis.
He's so fucking good.
He's so good. He's so good. I'm so lucky, man. I'm so lucky. Life's good, man. A lot of gratitude. Hashtag gratitude. Lamar Jackson's your quarterback. It's the 8 era. I'm just enjoying it, you know. Like, I'm watching. I'm sitting back. I'm watching other teams in the league. I'm watching other fan bases. And, like, there's a lot. Like, being a Ravens fan, like, you know, we're not winning. We're not the Patriots. We've won a little bit. We're not the Steelers. We don't have the history. But we have the right now. And, you know, there's other teams that have the history that are currently having the worst home loss of their said owner's career, who has owned that team for 35 years. And there is a team that has a fan base that is so obnoxious and so riddled with inbredism and low IQ and, quite frankly, all the afflictions, health, mental, and otherwise, that just completely plague society, and hence why they gravitate towards such a dumpster fire of a team. And I'm talking about them Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys, Lily?
Yeah. Well, how did you watch? You watched that game this week?
I didn't get the chance. I stat watched the game, yeah. And I had every chance, like every intention of watching the second half until I saw the scoreline.
Yeah.
And I was like, Detroit are doing them like that.
Yeah.
Like, that is, it felt personal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the amount of, like, lineman plays that they were trying to do, it's almost as if they were proving a point from the playoff loss. Just, oh yeah, do you remember how that one guy got called as an ineligible receiver? We're going to run as many plays as we want.
Yeah.
Where we are going to have a lineman. We're going to have a lineman line up as a wide receiver. Because we can. Like, it was, they humiliated them at home. It was brutal.
That Penei Sewell hook and ladder. That was, I didn't watch that live. Was that play a flag? Did that count? Did he get down to the one or something at least? I can't remember.
I only saw the highlight of it, to be honest.
That's the thing, because I think that was like fourth quarter. I don't think anybody was watching that game live at that point. No,
What is there to gain?
Like, I remember people were pissed that they didn't put that as the Sunday night game this week, because we had a dog shit Sunday night game, the Bengals and Giants, which literally had one highlight and then was 55 minutes of dog shit.
It was a bad game to watch.
And it was a bit like, I mean, all you can come out of that saying is the Giants have a defense, I guess.
Like, there is,
but I guess they have a defense.
Like, it is, you know, it's, Cincinnati look like they are in trouble.
I know. Like,
outside of that Joe Burrow run,
it would have been a 10-7 game.
What a God awful game.
It wasn't even wet or anything. It was like, I think it was maybe a little windy.
The Bengals are the perfect example of they play down to their opponent.
I know.
Like, every single week you're like, okay, cool, they should be significantly better than this team. And every single week they're just fucking not.
But then it was just 2 weeks ago. They arguably were the better team against the Ravens, who we were just gushing. I was just gushing over for fucking 7 minutes before.
Like, it's, is it like they play down to their opponent, but they also play up to them, because they, like, whenever they versus Kansas City, they play some of the best football.
They arguably should have won that game too. They should have beaten Kansas City and the Ravens, arguably the two best teams in the AFC right now.
And they should have won both of them. Yet they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's a bad loss. That, like,
Jacoby Brissett era Patriots, honestly. You may as well have the Deshaun Kaiser era Cleveland Browns. Like, what are we talking about? Like, fuck me. Like, that's, like,
Oh my god!
I remember that era, Hugh Jackson. I remember I watched that full Hard Knocks because it was like the Baker rookie year Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was like it was Hugh Jackson, man. Bless his soul, bless his soul. But he went 0-16, and they brought him back.
It tells you everything you need to know about the franchise, doesn't it?
Yes, but anyway, the Bengals, man. I don't know why we got into that. Joe Burrow, literally, that run was the only thing. We've spent more time talking about that game than there is worth watching that game. So
that's, yeah.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, though, there's a lot to talk about there. But
I don't understand what the Cowboys' like whole plan was. Like, this offseason, they allowed themselves to get marketably worse. They abandoned any sense of a run game, either offensively or defensively.
Yeah.
And there are some real, genuine concerns. They waited too long to pay Dak, so they overpaid him.
They paid him after... They should have gotten there way before...
Way before JJ.
Way before JJ.
Way before Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson, we all knew was going to, set the receiver market.
Like, they traded their quarterback away so they could do that. It's like it was always going to happen like that. And then CeeDee Lamb was going to demand at least like 98% of what he was getting paid there. So, but
it's a bad way of doing business. Yeah. And they are coasting on the 90s. We are in the middle of the 20s, people.
I know.
They have and I understand that people want to have this sense of McCarthy, yeah, he won 12 games 3 years in a row. But you can't ask him to continue to have that level of regular season success when you were taking away all of his weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even a big McCarthy guy. His players always seem to want to run through a wall for him.
Even Aaron Rodgers loved him, even though he kind of stabbed him in the back. But that's another topic.
That's a very Aaron Rodgers thing.
That's a very, you know, he's a real...
He's a people person.
You know, did you know he's got... we'll get back to him again soon. You know he's got a Netflix documentary coming out in a couple months?
I did not, and I'm not that shocked to hear
it. Do you know what you want to... The name won't shock you either. It's called Aaron Rodgers Enigma.
Oh my fucking God.
I think it's literally because... I think he took a couple other NFL players... I think it might have been last off season to the jungle for an ayahuasca experience. I think that's a part of the documentary. It's like him, one of the guys that was, what's the guy? Fucking blanking on him. He was one of the safeties for the Bills, but he's just gone to the Dolphins now.
Poyer?
Yeah, Jordan Poyer. He was out there with him too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he's, boys.
Explains why his safety play fell off.
He's boys with Rodgers. But anyway, so, but the Cowboys, hey, that's, at least you're not a Cowboys fan.
Oh,
at least.
It makes me so happy to see obnoxious fan bases fall in their face. It's why I was so happy for the Patriots' downfall. I still, to this day, say that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Despite what he did to my team for 20 years. And watching their fan base fall on their face and have to deal with the Jacoby Brissett Patriots for the first few games of this year, and Drake May's offense looking a little better, but...
A little better. I watched that game earlier, actually, this morning, and a lot of garbage time points. It was 28-7 in the third quarter. And then, so
it was not a competitive game.
No, but it's tough, man. Drake May, why are you putting your... I don't know why the Patriots did that then. Why are you putting your rookie quarterback into a game when his team's 1-4 and they're going up against a 4-1 team?
I mean, I kind of understand the there's nothing to lose benefit, but there is.
I think
your quarterback's health.
They should have done it. I mean, I know it's tough because they're playing in London this week, but I think that's all. It would have even been a better way to start. You start them when you're playing out of the country against arguably one of the worst teams in the league. But then also, if you get blown out, if you get blown out as a rookie, it always sucks. But anyway, the Patriots are a dying dynasty.
They have not been a dynasty for a wee while now. That dynasty is well and truly dead.
But it's interesting because I think their collapse hasn't necessarily been coaching. It's been the quality of the players in their team. It's been
which does come down to coaching, and that does come down to the executives in the front office not actually taking control during the last wee while that Bill Belichick was
Not that they didn't take control. He was the head of operations. They had to report to him.
And he did everything. He was in charge of scouting. Bill Belichick is an incredible defensive mind and one of the greatest coaches that will ever play the sport, that will ever be involved in the sport of football. Bill Belichick was absolutely incredible. However, he had some pretty serious fatal flaws when it came to offensive players' judgment.
Yeah.
And
so many bad draft picks.
That's exactly it. Like, and you cannot sustain success when your what is supposed to be good young players on cheap contracts consistently miss.
Yeah.
That's why Kansas City has got such a dominant defense, is because they have drafted so well on that side of the ball and then had Spagnuolo putting everybody in the right place. Like, drafting is such an important process. And the Patriots at the end of their dynasty just sort of, it went by the wayside. They went from drafting some of the best players for the franchise to drafting some of the worst players in the NFL.
Which is great, because I think through the Bill Belichick era, he was never known for hitting well on his high round draft picks. He was known for getting the steals late in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady for one. So,
the ultimate steal.
Yeah, the ultimate steal. And now, minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. That's an interesting call. I was reading something about that, just to sidetrack again, because I think this episode should just be called Sidetrack City.
Side quest and digressing.
Just ADD and a little bit of something else. Las Vegas, apparently, like, Mark Davis is bringing him in, and he's part of the agreement is Tom Brady's going to have a controlling influence in the team.
Well, it couldn't go worse.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be interesting to see, like, he's going to be involved in, you know, direction of that franchise.
I did see something that cracked me up. It was, you know, Tom Brady is now the minority owner of the Raiders and the majority owner is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's imagine if Tom Brady, like, one of his big moves is he convinces a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes to switch over to the Raiders.
There is no way.
What if it's...
No quarterback worth their salt wants to go to the Vegas Raiders.
What if they have gambling debts? What if? What if we sign him up to a residence deal with a Las Vegas casino? What if we Elvis Patrick Mahomes and get into the Las Vegas? I don't want this. I don't want the Raiders to be good.
I'm just thinking, what would you give him a residence deal doing? Like, he is an incredible
play quarterback.
He's got an incredible, you know, football.
Is that what?
But like, when you say Vegas residency, I think like music. And to be honest, I don't really like. I love Patrick. I love watching Patrick Mahomes. Listening to him is not what I want to do.
Technically, Brady would be the bun on the Vegas residency right now. Oh shit! Sorry, I just knocked Matt's mic. I got big legs. That's what we're doing. But shit, if he came back and played, that would be the equivalent of a Vegas residency.
It would be,
because he's
playing quarterback
and he's got a piece of the team.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be legal, but
it's definitely not. But no.
Yeah, yeah. Because if that was legal in Pat Mahomes' next contract, he would get a percentage of the Chiefs.
Oh, man.
He basically did with that 10-year, $450 million contract, which actually looks like a good deal now.
It is such a good deal. That's the thing. Like Mahomes is a highly paid player.
Yeah.
But for his salary cap, they're really smart with how they do it.
Yeah.
And he's got it made, dude.
Like,
and he knows it. That's the thing. He knows it. And he's constantly talking about, like, how he is a beneficiary of Andy Reid. He's constantly talking about how the defense is playing so well. And, like, he's got one of those traits that I think that drives people crazy, which I think he's kind of a little faux humble. You know, that whole, like...
Well, did you watch the Quarterbacks Netflix documentary?
I didn't get a chance to.
Because he's not humble. That's what that shows. It shows he... I get what you mean by faux humble. I think he is an air of an everyman to him. That's what he is. He's relatable. Like, he likes to get on the piss with the boys, and he loves sports, and he works his ass off, and he loves football.
And he's got
a psycho.
He's nuts!
He is a psycho, and he is a... Like all the mic'd ups with him during that series, like on the field, he is like, he's talking trash. He is getting into it. He is like, so like,
which actually makes me like him more.
I know he's impossible to hate. And what's
the only thing that's not good about
is his wife's political opinions, but
and the Kermit voice,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the Kermit voice.
I'm here.
The worst thing about Patrick Mahomes is the people he surrounds himself with. So, but you know, it could be worse. He could
by birth or by choice, actually.
He could, yeah, I know. He could be Deshaun Watson, who is now not only facing more criminal charges, but is now a receiver down. And that receiver has now left to greener pastures, which is ironic because he's gone to the coldest climate in the fucking NFL. But
well, it's hard for the pastures to not be green when they get no sunlight.
True. True. But I suppose Cleveland, it's hard for the pastures to be green when they're covered in 50 feet of dog shit.
And that's exactly what Cleveland has been, man. Like,
that's what the Browns... They shouldn't be the Cleveland dog pound. They should be the Cleveland Browns from the dogs. That wasn't smooth.
That wasn't good.
No.
It wasn't your best work,
no,
mate.
No, like, I'll get back in the lab. Anyway.
No, but Amari Cooper to the Bills is... I don't want to like this move.
Yeah.
Because I don't want the Bills to be good, but as long as they've got Josh Allen, who I'm convinced is a polar bear with a rocket launcher for a right arm.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So I have to respect the smart moves that they make. And giving him a star wide receiver, which he needed with Stephon Diggs. He's got all the upside of Stephon Diggs with none of the personality issues.
Just imagine that. Like, you know, like how, like, when the Texans played the Bills the other week and you kind of see Stephon Diggs, like, he mugged him off or something. Or he did
the side eye.
Gave him the side eye. But, like, how good is Josh Allen feeling now that, like, he got rid of Stephon Diggs?
And literally,
he's got the anti-Stephon Diggs. Like, he's just, like, he's the quarterback.
Stephon Diggs never shuts up, and I've never heard Amari Cooper say a word.
He's the quarterback dream.
A productive, awesome receiver who doesn't say a word. He is the unicorn.
Shut up and dribble, Amari. That's what we're saying.
Oh, he's so good. Like, when he was on the Cowboys, the Cowboys offense got a lot of flack for how much it felt that Dak Prescott was forcing the ball to Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say, if I was in Dak Prescott's shoes, I'd force feed the ball to Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
The guy is awesome. Like, he's so fucking good. So,
I'm clipping that. Like, you force feed Amari Cooper. Anyway.
I'll do whatever Amari Cooper lets me do.
If he was on the Dolphins, you don't deserve him. You don't need him. Well, you'd like him.
Yeah.
Who would?
Like, you know, if we had Amari Cooper instead of OBJ.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but...
But also, we don't have anybody to throw on the ball, so...
But, I mean, you may as well go get Mike Evans and fucking Devontae Adams while you're at it, but you...
A man can dream.
Yes. But, yes. But, I mean, crazy wide receiver week in the AFC East, because, I mean, I called it. I said it with almost certainty. It was one part of a two-part certainty. One of which, the first part's come off, so the second part better fucking pay off, where I said that Devontae Adams was going to the Jets and that he would make them a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I tentatively stand by those words.
I don't know how you can.
They should have beaten the Bills. They should have beaten the Bills if it wasn't.
They were a Hail Mary away from a blowout loss.
Oh, that! But hey, they were two field goals away from a win.
I mean,
that's not a blowout loss. They would have lost by 10 if it wasn't for that Hail Mary.
That's also presuming that the Bills didn't go into the second half with that, you know, 10-point momentum.
Yeah, but now,
which they would have.
Yeah,
and then Josh Allen would have swung his dick all over the place because that's what he does.
All right, okay. So now you're force-feeding Amari Cooper and swinging Josh Allen's dick. Just simmer down there, Matt. I'm saying it was a close game with a lot of back and forth that if the Jets fucking... If Greg the Leg Zuerlein, who was also on my fucking fantasy team, didn't. Oh, my cat just jumped in the window. That was that noise. If you're listening, that's Baloo. He went through a health battle recently. He's fighting strong. Pray for Baloo. Oh, before fuck, we didn't. We finished the talking about the Cowboys Lions, and we didn't do T's and P's for Aiden Hutchinson.
This is true. Like, I mean, I think we got to circle back and just say, like, what. And what a brutal loss for the Lions.
Brutal.
Like, he is a foundational defensive piece that
yeah.
you can build a whole defensive culture around, and he is a fucking monster.
And loves that town, too. He's from Michigan. Like, and just hometown kid.
And being able to see a hometown kid from the Lions make the Lions help make the Lions a relevant franchise when they haven't been for so long.
He was front runner for defensive player of the year. Like,
just brutal. So like,
snapping his leg in two. It was rough, dude. Are you the kind of person, when you see those kind of injuries, do you seek out the videos and watch them?
I have a grim fascination. So, like, every part of my body is like, I do not want to see this as I'm typing it into the Google search. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
like, I don't want to see this, but I have to.
Yeah.
I can't not see it.
Oh, I'm terrible.
And every single time I regret it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remember I was one of the people who I saw the really bad fencing video of Tua. I watched it a lot, and it made me very, very unhappy and unsettled.
Yep.
But I couldn't look away.
I'm terrible. I get squeamish, but I still look it up.
Yep.
I'm like that with everything, not just football. I was once I heard TMZ posted certain photos, I tried to find them, and that was horrible. I assume you know what I'm talking about. R.I.P. Liam Payne. That's not football. We're not going to talk about that. We got a guest here today, guys. We got a cat. Baloo's just come right up. He's sitting in between me and Matt, and he's not very vocal, so I can't really put the mic up to him. But
he's a very welcome guest.
Yeah, he wants his dinner. He wants to be fed. That's why he's hanging around. It's probably close to his dinner time. But we've still got at least 20 minutes of this podcast, mate, so you've got to fucking shut up. Anyway, sorry. Sorry for the kitty talk. That's how people talk to their cats.
So let's circle back to the Jets.
Yes.
You were saying that you think that Devontae Adams would make them a contender.
I think it makes them a top 5 offense, and I think pairing that with their defense makes them a contender.
I'm not quite sure how to react to that, because I think that Devontae Adams does move the needle for their offense.
Yeah.
And I think that you cannot deny who Devontae Adams is, and having him and Garrett Wilson as 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's an effective receiving core.
Yeah. I agree. But I think...
But...
Just ignore me. I'm looking up something. You yeah. just keep talking.
I think that the Jets' problems go beyond their wide receiver room, and I don't think that the wide receiver room was their biggest problem.
No.
Their offensive line play has not been good. Tyron Smith hasn't had a great year.
No, honestly, this is what I'm trying to Google. I'm trying to Google the name of their first round pick this year, who's their backup tackle. Get fucking Tyron Smith out of the game. He looked like he was stuck in the mud. By Epinesa?
He had a great game.
He had a great game, but Tyron Smith just got absolutely fucking... Like, he's what? He was stuck in the mud. He was completely stuck in the mud. And you got this rookie who was their first-round pick, whose name, it's a very African name. I don't want to stuff it up. Yes. There's nothing. Okay, you made it. Yeah. Anyway. Olu Fashasinu. Yeah, there we go. Olu Fashasinu, the 11th pick. He's a tackle from Penn State. They need to get him in the starting lineup. They need fresher, faster legs in that left tackle position, because Tyron Smith ain't going to cut it. But Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers,
so
they are gelling.
Me talking about the offensive line actually is really important here, because, yes, Breece Hall is doing very well receiving the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he's catching the ball well. They're not having a good year running it very much. And I don't think that their offensive line play is allowing them to.
No.
Which also, Aaron Rodgers has been under duress the whole games.
Yeah.
The whole time, all of the games.
Mm.
If he can get the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, they look good.
They do.
Anything over 2.5 seconds is either a sack or an incompletion, because Aaron's not mobile anymore.
Yeah.
The one game that he looked vaguely mobile was against the Patriots. It's the Patriots.
It's the Patriots.
And when he went up against, like, he was throwing the ball well.
He hit a Hail Mary,
which really inflated his statistics, I think.
And he hit Garrett Wilson for a pretty sick touchdown.
It was awesome.
While escaping the pocket and on the move, Aaron Rodgers. That's the thing. I get your hate of Aaron Rodgers, but he's literally, like, okay, I will accept he's 40 years old.
I don't think he's playing well.
I think he played very well in that Bills game.
He played well in that Bills
game. He played very well against the Bills defense, who,
until the very end of the game, when once again they had an opportunity to get toward the end of the field, to get into a scoring position, to tie or win the game, and a poor decision that came out of Aaron Rodgers.
By Mike Williams, go on.
Either way, yes, and if Mike Williams did run the wrong route like he's saying, why the fuck did you throw him the ball? Like,
because he saw him out of the corner of his eye burn his one-on-one receiver. The problem was, the cornerback that was meant to be Mike, he was in his zone coverage, but he blew past him, so he saw that out of the corner of his eye and was like, oh, he's going to be open and the safety's going to be nowhere near him because he should be on the fucking sideline. But because he was cutting in, the safety was right fucking there.
And again, like, you have to give credit. Like, Taron Johnson had an incredible interception. That was a great play. 99 times out of 100, that it's an incompletion, not an interception.
Yeah, it was fourth down too. He was fourth down in like 16. He kind of had to go for it. Like, he had two options to go with that ball, and he assumed Lazard on the other side was more covered.
It's one thing to, like, he also was half of the equation in there. It's like, he still threw the ball, and that's not the only thing he threw.
But if
he threw Mike Williams well and truly under the bus. And I'm not saying that Mike Williams didn't run the wrong route. I don't know that.
But if he throws it to where Mike Williams was supposed to be, the ball goes 20 feet past him, and it's a turnover on downs, and the result is effectively the same. If he throws it where Mike Williams was going to be, it would have been the easiest interception for that safety he was going to have all week. So he threw it kind of halfway between, and it was a hell of a pick. So it was kind of one of those things that, like, it was a tough play. It was a low percentage play regardless. And Mike Williams was the bigger fuck-up.
I don't know, it's fair to say that, though.
I think, like, there's, like, you can't just say because he's the one throwing the ball and the ball didn't go where it was supposed to, when the target wasn't where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but also, like, as I said, he's half of the equation here.
Yeah.
Like, he still made the decision to throw the ball there. He still made the decision to say, like, oh, Mike Williams is in the wrong place, I'm still going to launch the ball. And then blame him.
Yeah. Well, none of this matters because Mike Williams will never be on an NFL field again, and Devontae Adams is taking them to the promised land. So,
It was just another instance of Rodgers being a fucking bad leader.
Bad leader? I don't know. Like, he's a grown-ass man. Deal with it. Like, okay, yes. That's the thing.
What other quarterback in the league would have thrown his receiver that
far? Tom Brady. Peyton Manning.
Bullshit.
Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning trashed his receivers all the time. The kicker. He trashed his kicker that they had to fire him, and then he forced his team to go fucking overpay Adam Vinatieri, the bit richest contract in the NFL kicker history.
But also, Aaron Rodgers is not Peyton Manning.
I mean, one more Super Bowl and he's arguably one step below him.
And can you honestly say right now that you think that Aaron Rodgers can win another Super Bowl?
Peyton Manning won one with a 70.5 QBR. That, and if he didn't win that one, he would have had one.
Okay.
I mean, the parallels we can draw between Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, that's the career parallel. Like, Aaron Rodgers, you're not comparing him to Tom Brady. No one you can compare to Tom Brady.
You can't.
But I'm saying Aaron Rodgers should be looked back on when he finishes his career onto an equal pairing to Peyton Manning.
I disagree.
Why? Why do you disagree? Who was a better passer of the ball?
I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers wasn't an incredibly talented player and wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, because he absolutely is.
But
like, I'm just saying that I think that what Peyton Manning was able to add to the game on a sort of like a cognitive level, what Peyton could do pre-snap that Aaron cannot do.
He does, but Aaron can't. If anyone can do it in the game today, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, but that's also because there is not a pre-snap quarterback in the league that is anywhere near.
Because the game's moved away from that. Because there's other things required. Because that's the thing. Aaron Rodgers' mobility became way more important as a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, at his peak, is 10 times more mobile than Peyton Manning ever was.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this Aaron Rodgers hate as a player, I get, personality-wise, he rubs a lot of people the wrong fucking way. I love him to death. I would do anything with that man.
I don't think his play this year has been.
It's been six games with a new team, off an Achilles injury, and now he's got a receiver who's second in the league in receptions.
When was the last time he was great?
2 years ago, the year before, the second last year in Green Bay. Which was 3 years ago.
And then the year after that,
he had no weapons and an injured offensive line.
He looked washed.
He looked washed because he had no time and he had to get the ball out of his hands quicker than any other quarterback in the league.
You mean like right now?
Well, right now his offensive line is slightly better and he's got some fucking good weapons. And a defense.
I do not believe that, like, historically, yeah, I think that Aaron Rodgers is an incredible quarterback, and I think that talent-wise, he absolutely should have been in the position to win more high-end playoff games. Mm. And I think that in a just world, he would have won a couple more rings just out of talent alone.
And you know who else was like that? Who actually was in those high-end playoff games and just lost a lot of them? Peyton Manning.
Okay.
There you go. I mean, the problem was with Peyton Manning is Tom Brady wasn't quite Tom Brady yet when he was playing. So the discussion was, Peyton is arguably a better quarterback and Tom's won a little bit more. And then Tom blew that out of the water once Peyton retired.
Just one ring after ring after ring. Motherfucker.
I know. So, anyway, I that's my Aaron Rodgers rant for the week. Again, we're gonna have when King Henry makes Matt hard and then Matt sucking off Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's my two running segments. Mm. And you bash Aaron Rodgers. It's just...
I just think that an organization that has been that systemically incompetent for the entirety of their existence, I just don't buy them. And I think that...
Well, the Broncos won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and then were arguably the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL for 10 years after that.
This is true, but before that, the Broncos were always...
Tim Tebow.
Great rebuttal.
There we go.
Excellent rebuttal.
The Broncos, since Shanahan left, have been a dumpster fire, Tim Tebow, except for when Peyton Manning was there.
Hey, Tim Tebow was incredible at everything except for throwing the football. You know, the important thing.
Was he?
No.
Yeah. He looks like he probably can't fuck. But anyway, that's not my domain. What else are we going to talk about? I made that weird. Chiefs
and Niners.
Oh, they're playing Super Bowl rematch. And this is not the Sunday night game this week.
It is not the Sunday night game.
We're getting Jets Steelers over the Super Bowl rematch.
Oh, because, you know, the NFL media know exactly what they're doing all the time. No. They've never made a poor decision in terms of marketing ever. Chiefs and Niners is going to be a really fascinating game because the Chiefs are so depleted in talent at the moment.
Fucking still undefeated.
Patrick Mahomes has played a below-average season, and that's being fairly charitable.
Yeah.
And they're undefeated. They have got arguably the best defense of the NFL. They have got, I'd say, the best head coach in the NFL. They've got one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. They've got Patrick Mahomes, and he's throwing to fucking Milkman and Postman, and somehow is on an 11-game winning streak. And that sigh, that resigned sigh that you just gave me, how else are you supposed to feel, man?
I don't know, man.
Like, how else are you supposed to feel? Like, like they
as
the
fans
last...
of AFC teams, man, this is... Can he, like... Like, that's the thing. Like, you think if he was a terrible... Like, with the Patriots, you could hate Brady because there was a lot of evidence pointing to him being a shitty person.
But everyone in the Chiefs looks so good.
I know. You know, Travis Kelce is hosting a new game show.
I didn't, but...
It's called... he's hosting Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity. It's like a knockoff of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
And honestly, if Travis Kelce is the celebrity, probably...
Did you see the contract him and Jason Kelce signed a month ago for their podcast?
I didn't, and I'm sure it's astronomical.
$100 million.
Oh,
for 3 years with Amazon's new podcast service.
Oh, God.
Bezos gave him $100 million.
And I don't blame him because it's actually really entertaining.
Yeah.
And they're funny and they're like... You know the...
Like, what, like...
Just the depressed, resigned sigh there. Just like,
I know.
Oh, fuck. And it's like... The Niners have been consistently a great team.
Yeah.
Shanahan is 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes.
And I don't see any evidence. Like if this was the 49ers of last year, like how hot they were at this point in the season last year,
maybe
I'd probably be putting money on them to win, because I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs lost this one, because they are kind of due a loss with how they've been playing.
They are, but also
and the 49ers are going to be coming out with a lot of motivation after how that Super Bowl went. But
Vegas have done the dumbest possible thing. They've made the Chiefs an underdog. They've made the Chiefs, which, by the way, it's just going to be viewed as...
Hold on, let me get my TAB account up.
Because, do you know what Patrick Mahomes' stats are covering when he is an underdog?
I'm going to guess fucking great.
11-1-1 as an underdog. That's covering the spread. 11-1-1 against the spread.
The more you talk about this, the more I want to find a balcony, but it's fine.
Anyway. You can just keep rattling off these stats where it's just like, how are you supposed to doubt? How are you supposed to doubt them? Because last year was supposed to be the year to get them.
Yeah.
And their defense went from being meh to being a what the fuck behemoth. And this year, that defense is looking very much the same.
Yep.
And I just don't know what to do, man. Like, it just kind of... It kind of feels, looking at the Chiefs as underdogs, that it's kind of easy money.
Well, yeah, that's Matt's best beat of the week. Get on the Chiefs.
They're
at home, aren't they? Or are they on the road?
No, I mean, they are, and they're in Santa Clara.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But... There is no game ever that the Chiefs should be an underdog. At worst, they should be a pick 'em.
Yeah.
At worst. And this is Andy Reid off a bye.
Oh, fuck, that's right. There's no way they're losing this game. I might just put my entire savings account on the Chiefs. But that's...
I just want to add that we are not a fiduciary agency, and I do not recommend following that advice.
This is not financial advice, but if you want to pay off your mortgage any quicker, put all your money on the Chiefs. That's all I'll say on that. And that is financial advice, actually. I want someone to run an analysis. If you gambled, put all your money on the Chiefs for every game over the last 4 years, what percentage are you up? Because, like... I don't know why people are talking about investing in KiwiSaver. That's an investment plan that makes sense.
Invest in the Kansas City Chiefs, because I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. One team we shouldn't be investing in, because their head coach is an absolute fucking loon.
Oh, my God, right?
Nick Sirianni. What are we doing?
what the fuck, man? Coming in off the bye, he shaved his head. He's going on about how he needs to show personality. No, you don't, brother. I promise you, you do not need to show more personality. We have seen enough of your personality.
I know.
You are a CEO head coach who is there for your personality, and that is your most repulsive feature.
Imagine if John Harbaugh did this.
Imagine if anybody else did this.
Well, let's like
mean mugging the camera, like puffing your chest out at a 4-point win against the fucking Browns. Bro, you were 8.5-point favorites.
Yep.
It is.
How to have the Eagles? They were in the Super Bowl less than 18 months ago.
Well, that comes down to Shane Steichen. It comes down to Shane Steichen. It comes down to Lane Johnson. It comes down to Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Like, having an offensive guru like Steichen with an offensive line that secure.
Yeah.
Having one definite Hall of Famer, one probable Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It covered up a lot of the blemishes that are, you know, that Sirianni had as a CEO coach.
Yeah.
Because Steichen's, Jalen Hurts has never looked better than when he was running that offense with Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
Who sadly is not doing the same thing for the Colts.
Well, that's tough, because they've played well with Flacco.
They played great with Flacco.
And they're in a tough position, because, it's way too soon to give up on Richardson.
But and also, he is not the better option right
no,
now.
No. But, everybody knows the position they're in. It's kind of they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
So, for the best thing for their team is to play good football, but give Anthony Richardson the time he needs to develop, because he's still a quarterback that needs a lot of time to develop.
I'm saying, yeah, play lots of good football and lose a lot of games by 1 or 2 points.
The problem with Anthony Richardson, though, is, it's his fragility. Because he's got the athletic, he's the prototypical running quarterback that has the athletic ability to develop into a strong passer, but he doesn't have the durability to be able to rely on his running game.
I agree to a point, but I think that his passing is too kind of frenetic.
Yeah.
He is not an accurate thrower of the ball. He's got a cannon.
Oh, yes.
He has got a howitzer for an arm, but he kind of, his throwing of the ball very much seems to follow the shotgun method, which is cover a large area and hope for the best.
That offense should be rookie season Cam Newton or rookie season Lamar Jackson. They should be running the option with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor 40% of the time. But the problem is they can't, because if every 1 out of 10 hits so far, Anthony Richardson is going out of the game.
And not all of these hits are looking particularly brutal.
Yeah.
It's a real quandary for Colts fans.
He's coming back this week against your Dolphins.
Which, to be honest, I'm more confident in the game if Richardson is playing.
Mm.
Just simply because with Flacco, it is a knowing. You know he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
With Richardson, there have been a couple of games where he has looked pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of games where he is skipping a lot of balls, where he is missing wide open receivers, where he is absolutely firing the ball into the stands.
Yeah.
And when the plays work, it looks freaking awesome because he can effortlessly huck that thing 60 yards.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to have the finer touch.
Which is only going to take time to develop, which is what,
which is really hard to do that when you're not on the field. You're right.
Their problem was last year, they should have just sat him for all of last year, I reckon.
I think so.
I think replaying him too soon was a problem. I think.
But also, the Colts didn't really have much of an option.
They had Minshew, who they ended up having to go to anyway. But just having the foresight to know that, this kid's going to struggle, and if he takes a hit, he's going to get injured.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to, once you put him on the field, you can't take him back off.
This is otherwise,
unless
that's shattering his confidence.
Unless, well, I mean, it fucking panned out for Tua. Wow, did it? Not really.
No. He had to get an entirely new head coach in to fix the whole to spend a year riding the ship.
Yeah, and has dealt with this dichotomy of having to feel like he has to prove himself still every play and lead with his head and tackles.
Exactly, like, you know,
or keep players going way longer than they should be. Yeah.
Whereas Tua is the Samoan Kirk Cousins. Give him time.
Mm.
Give him a window.
Well, he needs to realize he's the Samoan Kirk Cousins too. He needs to play like Kirk Cousins, and when he does play like Kirk Cousins,
he's great.
When he's efficient. When he's
leading the throws with his eyes, pulling the defenders away, you know, just wheeling and dealing quickly. And because he's a lefty, everything is mirrored, so that requires a little bit of fucking thought from the defense too.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. He's, you know, he's trying to play too mobile.
Yeah.
And it's not his game.
Yeah.
Especially if he wants to, you know, remember his wedding.
Well, it's good to hear we got confirmation that he is going to come back at some point this season, probably within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that he's the first game he's eligible for is next week, I believe, because when they put him on IR, he had to miss 4 games.
Yeah.
So that'll be week 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh.
Game
4 through 7.
Yeah, yeah. So it might be another one. Yeah, it could be one. It'll kind of have to be within probably those 4. It'll be within the next 3-4 games at least. Yeah, so...
And it'll be whatever he's confident doing. However, it's more of the same as a Dolphins fan, which is having Tua on the field is a very conflicting feeling.
Yeah.
Because the offense doesn't work without him.
No.
The offense, like, it's been so stagnant without him, and I think that the line has also been a very big problem.
Mm.
We have a great left tackle who plays next to never.
Yeah.
Who's taking up a good chunk of that salary cap on the offensive line. And then we have got all of these sort of pick apart odds and sods all over the offensive line. They just are not getting the job done.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the meme of the, you know, of a Lamborghini either side of a trap house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I think, honestly, this, you might hate me saying this, but I think the best thing for Dolphins fans would be this season is if, say, Tua sits out like another 3 games, they lose all 3 of those games, and the Bills win all 3 of their games, and it's just like, well, the division's gone. Let's not rush this.
As I said, it's a really conflicting situation. I'm in 2 months because I don't want to throw the flag on the season right now.
No.
Like, I was ready to in week 3.
You guys can't afford to punt on a Tyreek Hill season. You don't know how many seasons he's going to have of top level production just because of the kind of play he is.
Exactly. Again,
like when he loses that step of top end speed, he's going to be a good receiver, but he's not going to be
Tyreek Hill. Like, and you're right there. Like, we don't want to waste a year of his production. We don't want to waste a year of Jalen Waddle. Mm. We, you know, have got
on that rookie contract.
And we've got what could end up being an incredible 3-headed monster in the backfield.
Oh, no, he's been paid, hasn't he, Jalen Waddle? Or is he on a rookie contract?
Oh, Waddle has just been paid.
Oh, that's right. So you got him for a while. Yeah.
And we got Waddle for a wee while, and I'm very happy about that. Like, I think that Waddle is one of the more underrated receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And that penguin Waddle makes me so fucking happy.
Yeah.
Every time he does it.
You know who has my favorite celebration right now?
Who's that?
Xavier Leggett. The
real country dude.
Yeah, yeah. He rides a horse. He just gives up. He's like, he's only scored like 3 touchdowns now, but like he's been going.
Oh, I wanted to score 300.
Yeah,
like that is
yeah.
the fact that he knows his country is all hell, and it's just like, you know what? Let's lean into it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, you rip that brand. I respect that.
Yeah, shout out the Panthers. That's like the best thing they have going for them. Xavier Leggett's touchdown celebration.
And any media that he does.
Yep.
I don't understand a word of what he says, but no. I love him.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, Matt, I think we should maybe wrap this up right about now.
I think that's fair.
You got any final thoughts on the week coming ahead?
Oh, on the week coming ahead, just sort of not particularly. I think that you know, the Chiefs game is the game of the week. I think that I am nervous for Aaron Rodgers against the Steelers defense.
I'm nervous for TJ Watt against Tyron Smith.
I think that TJ Watt versus Tyron Smith, if Tyron Smith was looking like that against Epenesa, TJ Watt has perennially been one of, like, he should have a Defensive Player of the Year award, if not two or three. Like,
TJ Watt?
TJ Watt.
Didn't he win it last year? I think he did. It's.
He deserves more.
He deserves more. He didn't win it when he led, like, when he broke the sack record.
I think that, I always thought that JJ Watt was an incredible player. I think TJ's better.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It is insane. And, yeah, oh, no, he won it in 2021. That's right. Who, like, won it last year? Was it Bosa? No.
I don't actually know. It might have been Bosa. But...
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, he should have more, because I think he led the league in sacks last year. No, it was Myles Garrett last year. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's a lot of DNs.
I know. Who was the last? Well, Stephon Gilmore was the last known, like, linebacker or DN to win it. Or D-line, because, yeah, Aaron... Yeah, this is, we're getting off track. Anyway. But,
we just got sort of sucked into the Wikipedia page of Defensive Player of the Year.
Luke Kuechly won it. That's right. Anyway.
What do you know?
He was probably the last, like, middle linebacker to win it. He would have been, yeah. Yeah.
And then just a lot of Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald really dominated that for a decade. Anyway.
They dominated fucking offenses for the better part of a decade, so.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this week, I mean, Ravens Buccaneers is an interesting game. Ravens should win that comfortably.
I think Ravens win that because the Buccaneers secondary is still pretty banged up.
Yeah.
But
what else do we have?
We got, but Bake Show will be a fun, is always a fun watch.
Oh, we got the Ohio Bowl. That's not watching that.
That sounds awful.
It really is a pretty... We've got the Giants versus the Eagles. We've got a lot of garbage watch games.
There,
like,
are a lot of rubbish games.
Packers-Texans, that's a game.
That's a game. And Vikings-Lions.
Vikings-Lions. NFC North is spicy hot.
I have never seen a division that I think that it's possible for all four teams to make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am not ruling it out, because every single team in that division is fucking awesome.
Nice. Oh, they got two Monday night games again this week. I like it when they do that.
Me too.
Because if one of them's a dud, you like, it's a better chance at least having one good game.
I honestly think that they should... This is probably too spicy a take, but I think that they should drop the Thursday game and only play Sunday-Monday. Because I think that the rest advantage and disadvantages are actually causing more injuries to players.
I kind of hate it too, because, like, you get the Thursday game and then it's like, oh, sweet, the week started, but then you still got two more days.
Exactly, and it feels like forever.
And, like, they can't do, and, you know, you're not doing Saturday because of college. Like, college gets Saturday. That's
fair. Do Sunday, Monday.
Just do Sunday, Monday. Maybe even do a Tuesday. Fuck it. Push the week later. If you're going to do a third day.
Oh, well, I mean, like, if they were going to do a third day, like, why not a Friday night game? Like,
yeah, well, I think because culturally in America, Friday night's like high school football night.
Oh, right.
So it's like, it goes high school on the Friday, college on the Saturday, and then NFL on Sunday.
I just think that, like, condense the NFL week. So, like, again, the rest advantage and disadvantage is so brutal.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our opinion from New Zealand, guys. Change your football structure because we think it doesn't make sense. Anyway.
Amongst other things that don't make sense, like your divisions not being actually geographical, despite the fact that they're geographical division names.
And your election system. Anyway, see you guys next week.